got to thinking during song service at song number 10 about loving Jesus, take the name of Jesus. That's the sweetest name, folks, that mortal tongue has ever uttered. Jesus. He covers a multitude. In fact, the angel in Matthew 1:21 said, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." There's no other name under heaven that is assurance and blessed as the name of Jesus. Sometimes in our despairs and our cast down feelings, we can just utterly say, "Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus." Keep that in mind. That's the one we attempt to worship this morning. Our Lord and our Savior. Our brother and our defender. But for a little while, I want us to consider our brother Peter. Simon Peter. What was he? He was a fisherman. No real education. The Lord chose him as a disciple. Did you notice one thing about his calling the disciples? Only one had any education, and that was Luke, the physician. But I'll tell you one thing, folks. In those 3 years they were with the Lord, they received instruction, mentoring from the school of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord called Peter, and in fact we're told that he was one of the inner circle, the inner three, Peter, James, and John. Now, I've always had the impression, I think I'm correct, that Peter was never quite as spiritually minded as John was. Remember John, the one that laid his head in the breast of the Savior. Remember also that John was the only disciple that was there at the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. But Peter loved the Lord. But Peter was like so many of us. He was kind of proud, impetuous, daring, boastful, full of himself many times. But keep in mind, he did love the Lord. He had his faults and his failures. He liked to brag how close he was to the Lord. In fact, on several occasions, he said, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I will never forsake you. Lord, you can depend on me no matter how rough the going is. Lord, I'll be with you. In fact, Lord, I will die for you if needs be." Very bold. And yet, when the chips were down, we find that he denied the Lord not one time, not two times, but three times. You will recall that the Lord had told him, "Before the cock crows this day, Peter, you're going to deny me three times." Before we get into that, I want us to look over at Matthew chapter 16. Turn your Bibles, if you will. Matthew 16, starting with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He had this question for the disciples. And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, and others said you're Elias, others said that you're Jeremiah." But he said, "But whom do ye say that I am?" Oh, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. For once, Peter got it exactly right. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And Jesus answers, said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He always has been. He always will be. That church of the first century was the beginning. We have His church today in the world, and we'll have it until the end of time. It may not always be a primitive Baptist, but there will always be the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ in this time world. Yes, Peter had it right. Peter, he said, that's true. And upon this rock, the rock of your confession, I'll build my church. Now, there are some who say, well, that rock means that he established another church. No, no, no. What was the Lord saying? Upon the rock, your confession, the fact that you see me, who I really am, as the Christ, I will build my church. The church was never built upon Peter. Always built upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the hope of glory. Well, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. I think around verse 58. Oh, yes. They've been together for almost 3 years now. It comes time when the Lord is going to give Himself up. His time had come. You realize this, don't you, that He was born to die. He never wavered. He never slacked. But here He comes to the place where His days are numbered indeed. The Roman soldiers take Him to the judge's chambers, and they beat Him, mar Him. There's a congregation of rascals out there, kind of chilly that night. They built fires because the crowd wanted to see something happen. They were interested in finding out about this man called Jesus of Nazareth. Well, lo and behold, Peter was in the midst of them. What happened to Peter to cause him to be out there in the crowd with the scoffers and the unbelievers? Because the Bible says, and Peter followed afar off. Folks, I want to dwell for a moment on that word. When we deny our Lord, we don't do it always. There are things that transpire that cause us to get to the place where we deny our Lord. Don't be like Peter. Lord, I'll never deny You. Peter meant it. He did not realize, though, how weak the flesh is. So Peter followed afar off. And when you and I follow afar off, are going to be in trouble. There's going to be consequences to pay. And we're going to see later on that Peter indeed paid the consequences. But here he is out there in the crowd, not standing up for the Lord. Remember, he said, "Lord, I'll die for you." Out there in that crowd, warming himself by their fires. And you recall one person said, "Hey, aren't you one of those disciples of that man?" He said, no, not me. Another said, "I believe you belong to that crowd that goes with that man called Jesus." And he said, no, not me. Finally, a young woman said, "Yes, you are. You are one of his." And he denied it again. In fact, this time he cursed and said, "I never knew him." Get that now. "I never knew him." At that moment, the Lord, our Savior, though he was bruised, beaten, before an ungodly judge, he turned and looked upon Peter in the crowd. Eye to eye. What kind of look was it? A look of compassion. Because the Lord knew the old flesh is weak indeed. He looked upon Peter, and what happened? And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You say, I could never deny my Lord. Don't be so sure. We don't hear about Peter again. Well, after the Lord was risen, remember something sweet. The Lord said, he asked about Peter. How's Peter doing? Well, here it says, I think in verse 58 I said, but Peter followed afar off. And then there was a verse in 75. Yes. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Remember? The Lord told him before. He said, "Now, Peter, I'm telling you something. In all your boasting, I'm telling you straight. You're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crow." And here in verse 75 it says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus." Again, the weakness of the flesh for you and for me. It's so easy for us to forget the word of the Lord and depend on the flesh indeed. And he went out and wept bitterly. Well, over in Luke, let's look at chapter 22 of Luke. 22, beginning with verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Have you ever wondered the difference between Simon Peter and Judas Iscariot? Jesus Christ never prayed for Judas Iscariot. He prayed for Simon Peter. because Simon Peter was a child of God and Judas Iscariot was not. Peter, I pray for you. I love you with an everlasting love. And Peter, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Oh, that word, converted. Oh, the Armenian says, oh, that means to be saved. No, no, no. Most assuredly, Peter was a bona fide child of God. But what the Lord was saying, Peter, when you've come to the end of yourself completely, when you've given up all your boasting of what you're going to do, then you'll be ready to do something for me. And he told him that he would deny him. But Peter, I prayed for you. Now look over in the same chapter, verse 60. Now I got to that before. That's where the Lord told him that you're going to deny me. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. We don't hear about Simon Peter until we come over to 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, and hear this man called ignorant, this man who had fallen and who was going to be redeemed and brought back up again. You read and try to understand Peter's writings, and you'll see these were not ignorant ramblings. Deep theology here, my friends. Something happened to Peter. Yes, he was converted. The old Peter was gone. There's a new Peter now, proclaiming proudly the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, a large number of people were gathered in this hall in Jerusalem. Several thousand, evidently. A certain man got up and started preaching about Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry, his death, his burial, and resurrection. The Lord blessed that sermon to the extent, I get this, that 3,000 souls were baptized that day. Wouldn't you like to have been there to have seen 3,000 souls baptized? Folks, it would take them at least a day. A full day to baptize that many. The Lord used Peter in a mighty way. A new Peter. That old Peter was gone. He looked the same, but he learned the lesson of humility. He learned that lesson well. So now let us turn over to 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. And look at a few words here. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That's how election works. God, before this world was formed, elected a people out of every kindred and tribe and tongue under earth. And he was going to save them ultimately through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now understand this. those people in the Old Testament, how were they saved? The blood of bulls and goats? Ceremonies? No, no, no. They were saved the same way you and I are saved. The blood of Jesus Christ. When is this world going to come to an end? We know one thing. It won't come to an end until the last elect child of God is saved. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Oh, that word sanctification, it scares a lot of people. What does the word sanctification mean? Just set apart. If you're a child of God, you are set apart, what? For God's service. That's what it means. Set apart. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How wonderful that this same man is standing before this large congregation of people extolling the virtues of a risen Savior. Not boasting in himself, but telling about the goodness and the greatness of an everlasting God. And what goes with being an elect child of God? If you belong to Him, you have an inheritance. Most of us know something about an inheritance, don't we? We like to have a thought in our mind, oh, well, maybe Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so will leave us something when they die. But you know what? The great majority of us never get anything. An inheritance, here he says, an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. You hear all the time about people who die and they think they're going to leave a bunch of money and they don't have anything. We're talking here about an inheritance, folks, that's incorruptible. It does not fade away. It's going to last throughout time and eternity. In other words, what I'm saying is this. If you are born with the Spirit of Almighty God, you are going to inherit the kingdom of God in glory. You're going to inherit it. Incorruptible and undefiled, it does not fade away. You hear about earthly inheritances all the time, that it seems to fizzle out. They think there's going to be a lot of money or a lot of estate, and it doesn't transpire. And it says, and we are kept by the power of God. I'm amazed all the time of how frail we are by nature. How weak we are. And yet the Lord sustains us year after year. He protects us. He keeps us. He provides for us. And even when we're down in the valley of despair, He lifts us up and makes us realize that we're not our own. We are bought with a price, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter said about Jesus, whom ye have not seen, yet love. Have any of us ever seen in person the Lord Jesus Christ? Physically? No. But bless your hearts, we've seen Him through the eye of faith. We behold His beauty. We love Him because He first loved us. We adore Him because we know what He's done for us. We haven't seen Him physically, but we've seen Him by the eye of faith. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter, under the work of the Spirit, knew what he was saying. He goes on in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, so forth. As I said before, deep theology, folks. But all the time he's talking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the hope of glory. He talks about being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Remember in John 3 when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Wonder why he came by night. Well, I suppose he was very influential. A rich man, a powerful man, a ruler of Israel, no doubt a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was afraid to be seen by the constituents openly in the daytime with this man called Jesus. But I tell you what, his nest was stirred up. There was a drawing there that he wanted to see this man. He came to him by night and called him Master, Rabbi, meaning teacher. Was the Lord impressed with his credentials? Not at all. No, no. He told him, first of all, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Not you might be born again, you should be born again, but Nicodemus, ye must be born again to see God. Well, Nicodemus kind of shook his head and he didn't understand. How are you going to be born again? He asked a question. Does that mean I have to come out of my mother's womb again the second time? Which is, it's somewhat logical, wasn't it, for a man who was not yet understanding everything. But how did Jesus answer? Nicodemus, you've got to be born again, second time. Told him again, third time. And Peter also preached this too. About the wind. The wind and the Spirit are synonymous. Peter was now preaching in the book of Peter about that wind, the Spirit of God. How it works. Mysteriously, you can't see it, and yet you know the effects of it. Everyone that is born again. Get this now. Everyone that is born again has to be born by the Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit. We don't talk much about the Spirit, do we? We talk about the Father and election. We talk about the Gospel, Jesus Christ. But we don't do much talking about the Spirit, do we? But folks, it's part of the Trinity, part of the circle. It is the Spirit of God who applies the blood and the election of Almighty God. Without the Spirit, there's nothing. That's why we need the Spirit. The Spirit of God's salvation. The Spirit of God's greatness. God's enduring mercies. and our hope of heaven. I think Peter learned some great lessons. And I'm reminded all the time of how much I'm like Peter. And if you confess, you have to say the same thing. We're all like Peter. We're weak, we're children of the dust. And we're only kept by the Spirit of Almighty God. May God add His blessings to the words you said today. In Jesus' name.